from his studios in New York. It's time for Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, where sports meets life. Here's your host, Dan Tortora.
Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app you can get by going to WakeUpCallDT.podbean.com/mobile. That's WakeUpCallDT.podbean.com/mobile. Thank you to everyone that's downloaded it, and however you're listening, including on iTunes. The name of the show is the name of the free podcast, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. It's an honor and a privilege to have somebody on the show that is a newcomer to the show. That's Thomas Schmeltz, who has been covering Dino Babers, the newly named head coach of the Syracuse Orange, while Dino was with the Bowling Green Falcons. Thomas Schmeltz coming from the Sentinel Tribune in Ohio, and it's truly an honor, as I said before, to have Thomas on here to provide some insight to who Dino is and who this staff is and what Syracuse is truly getting. So first and foremost, Thomas, how are you doing today?
Not bad, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. This has been a whirlwind. As you and I have spoken about off the air, I went through losing not only the head coach but an entire staff at Syracuse, and you are now currently going through what I went through, potentially, everybody going, or almost everybody, but you're at least going through the hours of knowing that your head coach that you've been covering and trying to build a relationship with is not going to be there. How has this period been for you? How close were you with Dino Babers?
Yeah, I guess I don't know how to say we were real close, but he was a pretty private guy for the most part. We had our moments for sure. We actually talked for a few minutes before last night's game in the MAC championship game. Just had a nice little conversation just about how things are going, how he was feeling. Didn't talk much about, his job status or anything like that. But he's the kind of guy where you're able to have conversations with him, just real life conversations rather than sitting there and just strictly talking football all the time. So, we would talk at practice, on a weekly basis for sure, perhaps before or after weekly press conferences, obviously depending on his schedule and everything like that. But once you really got to know him and he was able to kind of trust you and you guys built, you were able to build that little bit of a relationship with each other.
What can you say about the trust that you felt with Dino Babers? Did you feel like there was a bridge that you were able to build to get on his good side, so to speak, and actually have some of those positive moments be really worth it to you?
Definitely took some time. We went through, I guess you could call them, some rough patches last year, but I think that was just a lot of us trying to get to know each other and really feeling each other out in a way. He didn't like being criticized at first. I think that's part of it is probably him being a first-year head coach last season at the FBS level. Maybe not used to that kind of open criticism, I guess. But once he realized, I had a certain job to do and that I wasn't a personal attack on him, that it was just, trying to get general knowledge of maybe what things were going wrong and why they were going wrong. But once we got past that, this season was great, really all season. He saw that, me in particular, but I think generally everybody that covered him in our area wasn't out to get him in a way. And once he felt that, we weren't all, there trying to jab at him all the time, we were going to have those real-life moments with each other, he really opened up to us all.
What can you say about to the people that try to jab at him, or if someone is to try and jab at him in the media and constantly have a negative approach, how do you think Dino would respond to something like that?
He'll throw it right back in your face. he's not afraid to. He's very, very witty, very quick on his feet, very, very zen-like, a lot of people say. He's very calm, very collected. And he always has an answer for everything. you know, he's not afraid to, he's not going to sit there and get in arguments with you. He's not going to try to pick fights with you or anything like that, but he's just, he'll straight up tell you how he feels, and he's not afraid if it, might make him look like a little bit of a jerk once in a while, you know, he's okay with it.
When you say that, you know, in the beginning you butted heads, you know, a little bit, and there was obviously some trying times, what were some of the things that you covered with him that, maybe were difficult as far as, you know, in his first year at Bowling Green?
Yeah, the biggest thing, the one I always remember is, I remember being at one of the practices last year, and last year it was no secret that Bowling Green's defense struggled. After they won the MAC championship in 2013, they were, statistically anyway, among the nation's best defensively. I mean, match them up with, you know, a Power 5 school, something like that. You know, the numbers probably aren't as impressive, but they led the MAC in scoring defense and yards allowed that year. And then a lot of the same guys came back last year. They were fairly young on that side of the ball in 2013. And then so last year they come in and just, it just kind of took a 180. You know, things just didn't go well defensively for them. And at the same time, they were still winning games because, you know, that offense is pretty high-powered, and they were just able to strictly outscore people. So there were a couple times, you know, where we would just kind of talk, and I would maybe mention that, you know, why isn't the defense playing so well, or, you know, what's wrong with the defense, you know, just different kinds of things. And he really took exception to that and, you know, didn't necessarily care for it because at the end of the day, all he cares about is winning. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, obviously. But, you know, a lot of people were kind of wondering, you know, what the differences in the defense were between 2013 and 2014. And really, he didn't want to get into too much detail on any of that stuff, just, you know, based on the fact that they were still winning games.
Here is Tommy from Woody's Jerkwater Pub and Grub.
Woody's is going into its 13th year, and, you know, we started out as a, what we thought was going to be a neighborhood corner bar, which has turned into, you know, a really good sports bar. We're adding 360-inch TVs. Just really a great place to have a beer and have some food. So that same Irish pub feel where you can go in there and relax and not worry about, you know, what's going on. I take pride in our food. We have burgers, wraps, salads, Cuban. Our wings, obviously, I think are some of the best in the city. We have a great Philly cheesesteak. We have a great Cuban. All my soccer players love the Buffalo Chicken Wrap.
Woody's Jerkwater Pub and Grub is located in the Mattydale Shopping Center off of Brewerton Road in Syracuse, New York.
Gear up with the real deal at Dreisig Apparel, the best place for you to go when it comes to finding your image, creating what people are going to see and learn about you before they even meet you. At dreisigapparel.com, that's D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G apparel.com, you have the opportunity to not only outfit your team well, but also to outfit your business, outfit your event, outfit your breast cancer walk. When it comes to looking good and feeling comfortable in your own skin, the only place to go is Dreisig Apparel. D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G apparel.com. Gear up for what you need for your team, business, or event. To look professional, look good, and feel good, outfit yourself at dreisigapparel.com. That's D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G apparel.com. The only place to gear up with the real deal. What's the universal language of a fan? Clapping your hands. With Fan Hands, the ultimate sports fan accessory, found on fanhands.com. That's FANHANDS.com. I can take that and enhance that for you, make it even better, even stronger than it's been before. Be the loudest fan without ever having to lose your voice by choosing one of 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com. And all you have to do is clap your hands, something you've done every single game since you were a kid. Fanhands.com, get your favorite pair of fan hands right now. Find your team color, slip them on, and start cheering on your favorite team with 11 different colors, always in stock on fanhands.com, where you'll find the ultimate sports fan accessory. Fanhands.com. That's FANHANDS RealFans.com. Real fans wear fan hands.
I'm George Townsend of Honda City with some good advice when buying a new car. The true cost of owning a new car is determined by the appraised value when you trade it. No vehicle appraises higher than a Honda. Next, look for low APRs and deep discounts. You also want low maintenance costs and great fuel economy. That's why my advice to you is to buy a new Honda. Looking pre-owned? Visit our Honda Certified Used Car Center. Honda City, 7140 Henry Clay Boulevard, Liverpool, or HondaCity-CNY.com.
It would be a pity if you don't shop.
Larger Than Life Toys and Comics is a 6,000-square-foot haven of comics and collectibles located inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. They offer new as well as vintage comics, collectibles, video games, and more. Larger Than Life Toys and Comics will also buy from you. So bring in your used or vintage comics and toys today to their store inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. Call 315-622-1891 to learn more about their trade-in policy, store credit, and even layaway. That's 315-622-1891. And make sure to like their Facebook page, Larger Than Life Comics, for constant updates, store hours, and more. Here is Stacy Tanner, owner of Olay Olay, talking about the freshest Mexican food you will find.
Every year as a family, we go to Mexico on vacation. And we love the cuisine. We love the freshness of the food. We can promise you freshly made food. Nothing comes in a package here. We got a bag of rice and a bag of beans, and the rest is all fresh vegetables and meats. We really wanted to represent Mexican cuisine and fresh food, where family and our young people or older people can go have a healthy, good meal. Well, we are located in the Matteydale Shopping Plaza. My side faces Woody's Jerkwater, so we are literally neighbors. My husband and I. So we're kind of a side entrance. And that's on Brewerton Road in Matteydale. Our phone number is 455-5653 or 455-5-OLAY.
How have you seen him as a coach handle adversity on and off the field with players? How have you seen him respond when it comes to having to deal with something that isn't happening during a game and then having to deal with the moments where the team is struggling on the field? How has he kind of juggled that, and how do you think he's been?
Over this summer, there were a handful of guys that got into off-the-field trouble, stuff like that, guys getting arrested and everything like that, and a lot of people really kind of bared down on him. Obviously the public fans weren't happy with the way guys were frequently getting in trouble. I think there was something like 9 guys between July of 14 and this past July that had been arrested. But I thought he always handled it well, at least publicly. You know, he would just never speak on a guy basically again, and every guy who got in a significant amount of trouble was basically kicked off the team. I don't think he had any problems handling that kind of stuff, and I think he definitely sent some sort of strict message behind the closed doors that nobody's been in trouble recently anyway. So on the field stuff though, he we've never really seen him get into too many real tight panicky situations. It's either he's a very calm individual. He doesn't get overly worked up, I don't think. He handles himself in a pretty good manner generally, and even on the field. I mean, last night in the MAC championship, Bowling Green's up 28-7, and Matt Johnson throws a pick 6 the other way, and no reaction out of coach. It just kind of casually strolled down the sideline and move on from it. It happened, it's over, let's move on and go get it next time. That's just kind of the attitude he has.
When you look at Dino Babers as a person, not just as a head coach, what can you say about, now that we've talked about on the field and off the field, how is he with morals and values? I know you talked about the Zen and that being something describing him, but when you think about Dino Babers, is he the type of coach that he wants to win but do it the right way? Is it a win at any cost type of guy? How do you kind of view Dino with his morals and values?
Yeah, I think there's a kind of a fine line. You know, I think there have been times where I don't ever think at all that he's a win at any cost kind of deal. If guys are needing to be disciplined or don't deserve time in the field, he adheres to that. And if a guy needs to be suspended, the guy's suspended. Dino's very big on family. He's preached that from day one. I know he was the same way at Eastern Illinois, and it's probably been the same way his whole coaching career. Something he picked up at Hawaii when he was playing, and when he was a GA there. They're big on Ohana and La Familia. You'll hear a lot of that here as soon as Dino gets to town on Monday. He likes to keep everything in-house, and that just everybody create a special bond together. And I know he definitely thinks that has something to do with the success that they've, been able to have over the last 2 years and probably the previous 2 years when he was at Eastern Illinois. And I think it's pretty hard to argue with that, with his thinking there.
When you look at him as a head coach, he's been all over the place as an assistant, but as a head coach, 4 seasons, 2 at Eastern Illinois, 2 at Bowling Green. What can you say about his ability to manage an entire team?
I think he's really good at getting to know guys quickly and really getting them to trust him and buy into, what he wants to do and the culture he wants to create. Especially, like you said, a lot of quick stops throughout his career. And then obviously, like you said, only 2 years at each stop as a head coach. I want to say his longest tenure anywhere was Baylor, and he was there 4 years, I believe. But he's really able to communicate well with kids, and he finds ways to relate to guys. And, I think a lot of that has to do with the staff that he has, too. A lot of young, energetic guys on his staff who are able to really connect with the young kids. And, they get them to trust each other. And when you get each other to have that really strong bond within a tight group, generally good things seem to happen.
You talked about Dino keeping things, in-house. How is Dino here talking with Thomas Schmeltz, who has been covering Dino Babers at Bowling Green? How is Dino as far as practices, talking about injuries, having practices open? Syracuse is coming off of a head coach that closed practices, didn't let a lot of stuff come out. There were minimized opportunities to talk with players. You couldn't talk to all the assistants. You could only talk to coordinators. How is Dino Babers? Is he more of talk to whatever coach you want, talk to the players, come to practice? How do you kind of view him having experienced him?
Yeah, he's tight. Like I said, he really likes to keep things between the team and the team only. Practices were open, but, we had certain stipulations where, we weren't able to write about certain things. Injuries, he's not. Doesn't like to talk about them at all. He won't if he doesn't have to. And, obviously it's a question that's going to come up, and he's always reluctant to answer it. Or else he might just try to answer it as vaguely as possible. I don't want to say he's paranoid, but he likes to, he doesn't want to give the opponent any advantage that, he possibly could. So he likes to keep everything quiet and on the down low. Assistance-wise, last year, we were able to talk to some assistants, a lot of times when we were working on, maybe a feature story on a guy or something, we'd talk to their position coach. But this year, he closed us off from talking to any of the assistants. I don't know what the reason behind that was. We never really got one, which is fine. We deal with it and move on. Player-wise, we were pretty rarely available whenever we needed them. We just go through the SID office and set it up, whether it be after practice or, one-on-one in one of their offices, something like that. So players have always been pretty available to us, but coaches not so much. And he just likes to keep everything between themselves.
When you look at him and keeping with the players, what he's created with his offense, like you said, it's something that is highly detailed, and he likes the staff, obviously, that he had at Bowling Green. Can you see him carrying a lot of these assistants with him to Syracuse, New York?
Yeah, I think so. It's obviously all speculation on my end. I don't have any idea yet. I honestly don't think any of the assistants have an idea yet either. But I think it's pretty fair and easy to assume that he's going to take a good chunk of definitely his offensive assistants along, because they've been able to kind of create something special. I guess he was obviously able to if they didn't know the system well. When they got to Eastern Illinois together, he was obviously able to teach them at an effective level, and they've done a good job of obviously relaying that that knowledge onto the field to the players. So I think when you got something good going, why not try to keep it going? Especially when they have such a good thing going with each other. I think they all have generally really good working relationships. They all are able to work well together, and it gets to kind of that point with this offense. Guys really have to be locked in with each other, not just on the field, but with the coaches as well. So each guy's kind of got to know what each other's thinking.
Hey, this is Dan Tortora of Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, here to tell you that the Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue, down the road from the Carrier Dome, is your home for all pregame, postgame, and during the game excitement in Central New York. Make sure you come out for my live Syracuse pregame shows before Syracuse football and Syracuse men's basketball home games. We'll have a live pregame show for you there with me, Dan Tortora, and special guests throughout the season. Orange Crate Brewing Company, 721 South Krause Avenue, your local Central New York hotspot for all of your bar needs, as well as great food, great atmosphere, and a great time with the Central New York community. Right down the road from the Carrier Dome, be a part of game day at Orange Crate Brewing Company on 721 South Krause Avenue in Syracuse, New York.
Damn, this bouncing on these trampolines is so much fun.
I know. Why didn't we come here sooner?
I don't ever want to leave.
We don't have to. We're kind of doing the commercial like this right now.
And it seems like it's great for all ages.
It is fun for all ages.
I'd like to have my birthday party here.
They have birthday parties here all the time. You can dunk. You can play dodgeball. Wait, Nick, duck! You could go into the obstacle course. There's so many things to do here, Nick. And it's open all year round.
This seems pretty safe, too.
It is safe. It's for people of all ages. You can bring your family here. It's great for your body. It's great to get off some steam. It's great to have a good time. And all you have to do to book an event is call 315-948-3100.
Wait, Dan, what's that number again? I was bouncing.
315-948-3100. 3100.
Actually, is there a website I could go to?
Yeah, the website's getairsyracuse.com. It's just like we're doing right now. We're getting some air.
All right, Dan. I'm going to get more air, and then I'm going to go to that website to check out what other fun things I could do at Air Syracuse.
Yeah, you can find out more at getairsyracuse.com. You should really make your way over here. It's located right across from Driver's Village, 7687 Frontage Road in Cicero.
Get hopping!
Get air!
This is Dr. Tim Whiting of Sterp Chiropractic and Wellness Center. Here at Sterp Chiropractic, we strive to provide our patients with the highest quality of care in a comforting and welcoming atmosphere. We are not simply pain doctors. We spend time looking at the whole body and address each patient's needs and goals. This usually includes chiropractic adjustments, muscle work, and tips on nutrition and supplementation that fits each patient's needs. We want to develop a plan that promotes overall health and wellness and focuses on future injury prevention. Our office is located at 1628 West Genesee Street in Syracuse. Please give us a call at 315-472-7128 with any of your chiropractic or wellness needs.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Clothing that will change with you without you having to change. DreissigLady.com, DreissigLady.com, ladycom with the bamboo line, relaxed fit clothing, as well as the athletic fit clothing. DreissigLady.com is fit for any woman, any time of the day, anywhere. Whatever you're doing, whatever your day commands of you, command yourself to feel comfortable in Dreissig Lady Apparel. DreissigLady.com ladycom. For all the women out there, feel good in what you're wearing and don't feel like you have to constantly change throughout the day. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, a business owner, going for a jog, going for a meeting, or just relaxing at home, DreissigLady.com is the right fit for you. DreissigLady.com.
Cam's Pizzeria isn't just a pizza place, it's a piece of home. Whether you're in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Oswego, or on Lemoyne Plaza, Tony Calcibetta finds a way to give you something that you can't find anywhere else. You got to get something to eat, you're going to get something to eat. You're not in your own home. Well, when you go to Cam's Pizzeria in Baldwinsville, Camillus, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego, those locations give you the feeling of just being at home, relaxing, being comfortable. There's nothing like going out and getting good food, and Cam's Pizzeria will give you that. From their traditional slice to pepperoni to my favorite, the cheeseburger pizza, which you have to try, as well as buffalo chicken, chicken bacon ranch, and the other specialties and favorites they have. It's not just about the pizza. It's about the relationships. It's about building a bigger family. And Tony Calcibetta has been all about that since day one, which is why I wanted to work with him, which is why I want to send you there. Because when you sit down in a Cam's Pizzeria, you feel like you're sitting at home. You feel like you can be there with your family, your friends, to study, to have a meeting, or maybe to meet the best person you'll ever find in your life. I know that when I go to Cam's, I truly feel like I'm just walking to another room in my house. I'm just having great pizza in a great atmosphere. A place where I feel comfortable, where I feel appreciated. A place that isn't just a pizza place, but a piece of home. Go to camspizzeria.com right now to get the addresses to the Camillus, Baldwinsville, Lemoyne Plaza, and Oswego locations. Camspizzeria.com. That's C-A-M-S pizzeria.com. Cam's Pizzeria. Truly an experience that you'll always want to come back to.
As far as the offense goes, Syracuse had been working on their version of the option and how they were going to run it. They found success in running the ball. They found success in having quarterback keepers and utilizing the fake. I saw that obviously with paying attention to the MAC championship game and something that Dino's been doing. What can you say about his offense and this option that he has, because it seems to be something that isn't going to be rocket science when he brings it to the players at Syracuse, because they've been able to, you know, obviously see some type of an option. But how would you describe his option as far as what you know about it at this point?
Yeah, I think you saw last night, you saw a little bit different, I think, of what we saw the last 2 years. They will run a lot of read offs and stuff. He'll go to whoever's got the hot hand generally, and you know, they obviously found success running the ball, and they stayed that route. But you know, if they're having success passing the ball, they're going to pass the ball. It just depends on a game to game basis. I don't know. It's hard to say how quickly, you know, maybe they'll be able to pick it up. It's just so many. You don't even, from an outsider's perspective, you don't even notice, you know, the little stuff that goes on, how much tweaking they're doing all the time as far as just technique and fundamentals between the wide receivers and the quarterback and that communication, and then getting the offensive linemen to, you know, work on their techniques and sharpen those up constantly and stuff. So, there was stuff that they were constantly working on over the summer. you know, in spring ball and fall camp, just stuff that you and I wouldn't ever look at or know would make a difference or anything like that. So I guess it's hard to say, you know, how much little things they're going to have to pick up and kind of run with and how much they're going to have to learn.
When you look at, as far as recruitment goes, when not just with the offense but with players in general, before I let you go here, Thomas, as far as recruiting, Dino Babers obviously has had a connection to Florida. Syracuse has been working on the state of Florida with the Delray Beaches, the Homesteads, the West Palm Beach, Orlando, Miami. Dino has had success there, but Dino's also had success in Hope Sound, Hollywood, Lake Mary, Vero Beach, the list goes on. When you look at his recruiting in Florida, as well as his recruiting in the Midwest, what is Syracuse getting as far as Dino Babers as a recruiter? Because on paper, he seems to be very strong in the areas that they've been trying to plug into.
Yeah, and a lot of people, I've talked to a lot of people about, you know, his ability to recruit and what kind of guys he gets, and honestly, I don't have a good answer for anybody yet because we haven't seen any of his guys in the field. You know, all the guys that he's had here for the last 2 years were Dave Clawson recruits, outside of one or two, really offensively and defensively. So it's hard to say what he's been able to do in the recruiting trail. You know, I guess we'll be able to kind of see here in the next couple of years at Bowling Green, assuming a good chunk of the recruits stick around. But the big thing that he tries to recruit is athletes. You know, he tries to get athletic kids who are able to play. Maybe not necessarily multiple spots, but they'll have the capability to be able to play multiple positions, you know, be able to be versatile. You know, there was a kid by the name of Ronnie Moore this year who he's a wide receiver, well, slot wide receiver, who found himself playing some defensive back earlier in the year because of, you know, some different injuries. Obviously, it wasn't ideal, but he was athletic enough to be able to play both ways. Now, he wasn't a Babers recruit. He was another Clawson guy. But, you know, those are the kind of guys he typically looks to get, you know, athletic guys who have a little bit of speed, some guys who have a little bit of height on the outside with the receivers, and, you know, big, strong, yet maybe leaner offensive linemen.
Defensively, what can you say about Dino Babers? Because people talk about his offense all the time, but what's a defense like under him?
Yeah, publicly, you know, when we go to practice and stuff like that, he doesn't seem to have a whole lot of involvement with the defense. Now, I told somebody earlier in the week, I said, you know, maybe he has more involvement in the meeting rooms, you know, behind the doors than we know of, but generally, he doesn't tend to have ton of involvement on the defensive side of the ball. You know, they have gotten better. You know, like I said, you know, last year they really struggled with Kim McLeod, a defensive coordinator who's been with Dino for a long time. They've known each other for a long time. They're very good friends. So they kind of reassigned McLeod back to the offensive side of the ball and went out and hired Brian Ward as a defensive coordinator. Actually, Brian was just named the interim coach today with Bulgate, but he's done a nice job of kind of retooling that defense and getting guys in the right places. They're a very young unit this year, and they've improved, I would say, dramatically. Even though you look at their numbers, they aren't great, but at the same time, you got to account for how much more those guys are on the field when, you know, Bowling Green's running 85, 90, 95 plays a game.
And lastly, for you, Thomas, when you look at the fact that Dave Clawson no longer at Bowling Green and has been at Wake Forest and now Dino Babers with Syracuse, not only have you lost the last two coaches for Bowling Green, but you've lost them both to the ACC and both to the same division in the ACC and the Atlantic. So are you kind of hoping that the Atlantic division of the ACC doesn't need anybody in 2016?
That's kind of what you're looking at. You guys are going to have a handful of Bowling Green roots over there if things keep trending the way they are. But I think it's cool, though. You know, I was just talking to actually the SID, the football SID down at Wake Forest. Used to be the SID here at Bowling Green. So I'm going to hopefully look into getting in touch with Coach Clawson and you know, here in the next couple weeks again, and, you know, just kind of see what it's like. I don't know if them two know each other, but, you know, a couple of past BG guys who are not playing in the ACC is kind of a neat story.
Well, Thomas, you know, I appreciate it, your insight and everything that you've done. I know that this is obviously something that is part of the business, but it doesn't make it easy to have to transition. But obviously you transition from Dave Clawson into Dino Babers, and to wherever you go from here, I'm sure that things will go well. But I appreciate you coming on the show and providing some insight into Dino Babers and who he is, what he is, and what type of coach Syracuse is getting from a perspective that is truly unique. So I thank you for taking time, and I look forward to having you back on the show.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Anytime.
All right, man. Well, listen, take care of yourself. We'll talk soon.
All right. Sounds good, man.